Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 68th Berlinale, and today I'm in company of Willem Dafoe, who's here to receive the honorary Golden Bear for Lifetime Achievement. So first of all, congratulations, Willem, for the Oscar nomination, obviously, and for this great award here at the Berlinale.
Thanks.
I was also listening and attending a bit of the press conference yesterday, and I noticed there were so many people telling you so many beautiful things. So I was wondering, in your career, what can you remember one of the best things that told you about your work, and not only about your work, that got you like so overwhelmed, like thank you, like
Well, that's hard to say, because just how I grew up and how I'm trained, I have a real hard time hearing good things. But no, it's really true, I have trouble accepting compliments, and probably even more than accepting criticism. So nothing comes to mind. I try to avoid having these conversations.
Oliver Stone told the Hollywood Reporter that your secret to stay in the business one time was that you also stayed an actor, that you never wanted to be like the super movie star. Like, what's the secret of being an actor, staying an actor, true to?
Well, I think also he's, you know, because I don't think so much about career. I want to keep opportunities going, but I really go towards situations that I think will be fun. Fun and interesting for me. And the fact that I like to mix it up and work in different situations isn't necessarily so good for career, because people can't follow you. Because if you're working on a small film, if you cultivate an audience for a big film, and then you may not do a big film for a long time, and then you cultivate an audience for, you know, independent cinema. You're dealing with different audiences, and you're in different arenas. So that's no way to build a career. So clearly, I don't care so much about career specifically. Also, it makes me nervous, you know. I don't want to, because the tricky thing is, when you make movies, if you have some kind of success and you stay in the same kind of movies, you start to brand yourself and you become a recognizable thing. I always want to be an actor that, you know, it's an unreasonable expectation, but somewhere deeply I want to be an actor when I come on the screen, people go, who's that? Interesting. I don't want them to say, oh, there's that guy, you know? And of course, that's unreasonable, but I can dream, you know. I can. So I've never been interested. A lot has to do with the difference between a movie star and an actor, and they can be both sometimes. Some people can be both. But I think when you're a movie star, you have to find material that supports that movie stardom, that persona of who that you've created. And as an actor, I think you tend to pick stuff that you bend yourself to, or at least that's the way I see it. I think that's the main difference. And even if I wanted to be a movie star, it's never happened, and I've been in enough movies, I mean a traditional movie star, that that's okay. You know, I find my way organically. It's not always about what I want. You know, I react to situations, and my road is made half out of my decisions and half out of what happens to me.
Is there an essential element that has to be in all the projects you take part in, even if they are so different?
On some level, it has to feel like I've never done it before. You know, feel like it doesn't feel too familiar.
It's even more interesting like that. Like, I always portray the work on actor like as a possibility to get into
someplace
another
else. Like, get someplace else, change your mind, think a different way, challenge how you think, have a possibility. The whole impulse between inhabiting other characters, I think, is really to see, to feel different, to walk different, to look different, to all those things.
Since it is the award season, I've been talking to my colleagues, film critics, you know, journalists, and we're always trying to picture, okay, who's going to win and why should this person win? So I was thinking about, you know, two different actors like Daniel Day-Lewis and Gary Oldman, and we were thinking, so I want to know your opinion. Which work should we evaluate more, like the one where you can impersonate an existing character or someone that existed without imitating, without, you know, or somebody that was able, like Daniel Day-Lewis, for example, to create a whole person out of, okay, a script, but out of nowhere?
There are different kinds of performing, so it's impossible to compare the two. And I think one thing that you learn, I mean, anyone learns this by watching an award season, there are lots of different factors. You know, people sometimes, I mean, besides obvious ones of some movies are bigger, some movies are more seen, some movies are more attractive, some movies have bigger advertising budgets, you know, all that practical stuff. But also, traditionally, there's other things like the sense of the drama, the narrative of the Oscar race enters into it. Like, oh, let's give this guy a break. You know, he's been doing this for a long time. He deserves it. Or this is the new thing. This is great. Or he's never been better in that movie. Or those sorts of things. So it's not really comparing, you know, the best performance as much as there are lots of different things at play there in people's choices, I think. And I vote, so I feel it too, you know. It's particularly difficult because when you get into the final stage of voting, you vote on everything. So an actor voting on best sound mixing. Listen, I've been making movies for a long time, and I know something about that, but I feel almost not qualified. So what do? I tend to vote. I've seen the movies. I tend to vote, you know, politically, you know. It's like, I support this movie. So then the sound editor, I don't really know whether he did a better job or not, or she did a better job, but so that's all in the mix.
Talking about, for example, the Me Too movement, and, you know, since you're a director's husband, I've listened to some of my colleagues saying things, silly things for me, like, for example, that it's a good thing that Greta Gerwig is nominated and not Catherine Bigelow, and you work with her because she has a masculine way of directing. Is there such a thing? Like, do you think that we're still at that point in which we're not free to to direct our own way, like a feminine look at things?
Sure. I think culturally there's prejudices. There's kind of people's conditioned ideas of about way people are supposed to be. I mean, that was in the mix even before Me Too. But you're right. I live with the director. I see the challenges, the obstacles, the inequality all the time. So I'm very aware of the issues that women face in the film industry. Well, what strikes me is people are being educated and there's a discussion. Some of the discussion goes the wrong way, clearly, and there will be a correction. But one thing that I can personally speak to is I know that when I read a script now, I mean, when you talk about Me Too, you're talking about lots of different things because you're talking about sexual harassment. A lot of things are being discussed now. Sexual harassment, inequality of pay, inequality of opportunity, representation, not only for women, but also for Latinos and blacks. And there's much going on. But I think what's good is it's very ironic that this is happening in, you know, Trump era. They should all be targeting all the rage at him. But when I look at his script now, I guess it has mostly to do with the issue of representation. things that I would have thought was perfectly normal and acceptable, now sometimes I look and I say, I don't think people are going to go for that, because that's Hollywood bullshit. You know, that doesn't really reflect who we are anymore, because we have changed, you know? So, like in a movie where the only female characters are always taking off their clothes and making love with the heroic man, you know, and they're subservient, I'm thinking, I'm not sure people will want to see that movie. So there is progress being made, I'd say, at least for me personally.
And that we have to start little by little, right?
Yeah, not that it's bad for a woman to take clothes off and make love in the movie, but... you know, clearly that's not...
Well, last thing. Is there, like, can you identify, like, one or more sliding doors moment in your life and career? The ones that where you took that decision that took you totally in a different direction?
Yeah, it's hard. No, it's hard to know, because I think you don't know. I mean, I'm always struck that sometimes the failures, you know, make way for the biggest successes. And the successes, certainly, we know this, make way for the biggest failures. So, you know, I'm not analytical that way, I guess. And I'm always trying to cultivate equanimity. So what triggers something going forward? Listen, I even question what going forward is. You know, I just know... Yeah, I could say what sometimes creates opportunities, but I'm not even sure of that. I think it's like nature. It's inexplicable sometimes, you know. Sometimes there's lots going on for me and things I'm really interested in. Sometimes it gets a little quiet and then I have to direct my attention elsewhere. But lately, it's been pretty full on good. I'm finding good things to do.
And we've been talking to Willem Dafoe at the 68th Berlinale to receive the Honorary Golden Bear for Lifetime Achievement. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.